Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. How about those drones? General Christopher Cavoli, the commander of our European command and of NATO, reports that one-way attack drones have delivered huge results on the battlefield. Cheap and hard to detect, a small attack drone, quote, gives people a feeling of insecurity on the other side, end quote. And, quote, it's not just that you got hit with the drone, it's the kind that you didn't even hear coming. And every time you hear a buzzing sound in the air, it fills you with dread, end quote, leaving behind a paralytic effect. Thus, the war in Ukraine is showing how small investments in cheap drones can have an outsized effect on the battlefield. Interesting. I guess terrorists could do that too. Anyway, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. We're certainly having a nice mix of summer and winter here in Michigan, aren't we, Skip?
Yeah, we certainly are. In the day, particular day, it's summer. Boy, it's like fantastic 60 degrees, but in Michigan, we know that tomorrow could be 10 below. You just never know. But I'm not complaining.
No complaining. Okay, here's what we have for you today. A news and comments by the Colonel. I'm going to discuss the real legitimacy of the state of Israel. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. General Arnold Panero will then discuss some of our more pressing military problems. Army vet Pat Harrigan will discuss his time in the service and his plan to continue serving our nation. Army Colonel Steve Yudovich will share about a new war memorial. And Skip and I are going to shoot the bull.
Troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We really do welcome your input to the show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. Take us there, Skip.
Well, Colonel, the U.S. and European Union are piling new sanctions on Russia on the second anniversary of its invasion of Ukraine and in retaliation for the death of noted Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny last month in an Arctic penal colony. Our Treasury, State, and Commerce departments plan to impose roughly 600 new sanctions on Russia and its war machine in the largest single set of penalties since Russia's invasion of Ukraine. They come on the heels of a series of new arrests and indictments announced by the Justice Department that target Russian businessmen, including the head of Russia's second largest bank, and their middlemen in five separate federal cases. The European Union announced that it's imposing sanctions on several foreign companies over allegations that they have exported dual-use goods to Russia that could be used in its war against Ukraine. The 27-nation bloc also said that it was targeting scores of Russian officials, including members of the judiciary, local politicians, and people responsible for the illegal deportation and military re-education of Ukrainian children.
These sanctions are appropriate, if maybe a year or two late. These sanctions will put more pressure on the Russian people, who may decide to find a new leader, one with less aggressive goals.
And Ukrainian forces downed a Russian early warning and control aircraft late last month, their Air Force chief said, a major win for the country as its army fights to repel Russian attacks along the front line as the war enters its third year. Ukrainian media carried footage purportedly showing a massive fire that erupted when a big warplane crashed on the eastern coast of the Sea of Azov. The Russian military didn't comment on this, but emergency officials in the region reported that a plane crashed in the area without identifying it. Several Russian military bloggers confirmed the plane's loss. If confirmed, the plane's downing would mark the loss of the second such aircraft in just over a month. Ukrainian officials said they downed an A-50 on January 14. Russian bloggers and some media confirmed the aircraft's loss. The A-50, which is capable of spotting targets up to 400 miles away, is a key command center aircraft that relays information to troops on the ground. Such planes are fundamental tools in helping direct Russian battlefield movements in Ukraine.
One wonders why Russia wouldn't agree to end this war. On the other hand, evil nations in the world sense that this is the time to act while our nation is weak.
And the former director of Panama's Border Patrol said the United Nations migration agenda is behind the chaos at our southern border and that UN partners are making things worse instead of better. Oriel Ortega, now a security and defense consultant to Panamanian President Cortizo, said he saw a jump in migration in 2016 at the same time that more non-governmental organizations, NGOs, moved into Panama. While the UN has aided migrants for decades, the scope of its operation has dramatically expanded with the number of illegal immigrants entering the U.S. surging. Nearly $1.3 billion of U.S. taxpayer money was given to the UN and other agencies assisting migrants in 2023, according to a government spending database. The International Organization for Migration, the UN's migration arm, is paying for the expansion of camps, including ones near the Darien Gap, one in Lajas Blancas, and another new facility, Mr. Ortega said.
So the UN is spending our money to assist the illegal immigrants to get to our southern border and invade our nation. The millions of illegal people in our nation now contribute nothing to our country and are costing us billions of dollars that we don't have, and they're increasing drug use and violent crime. And they're taking away our ability to care for our homeless American veterans. Add to this the number of UN employees who are literally working with Hamas in Israel, and maybe it's time to ask why we give the UN a dime. The UN leadership clearly doesn't care a bit about our country.
And since 2022, there has been a little-known outside group pushing to make recommendations of affirmative action, forced DEI, bias training, and more mandated into permanent DOD policy, according to Dr. Ron Scott, Air Force Colonel retired, President and CEO of Stand Together Against Racism and Radicalism in the Services, STARS. Quote, the group is called the Defense Advisory Committee on Diversity and Inclusion. The members of this advisory group, mostly retired senior military officers, all have the same views about promoting and pushing the DEI agenda in the military, said Scott. The DEI is the open forward face of radical Marxist-based critical race theory, which is something most Americans oppose, considering the number of Americans killed, wounded, or missing fighting Marxism during the Cold War, Korea, and Vietnam, said Scott. STARS research shows much evidence that the DEI agenda push in the military has been very harmful to recruitment, retention, and morale, which has led to the current recruiting crisis. Last December, STARS attended the fourth public biannual meeting near the Pentagon as the only member of the public to serve. Quote, among what we observed at the meeting, every time a chart was shown where the largest number was whites or males, this was seen as a problem that needed to be fixed. Their focus was on increasing different races, ethnicities, and women in the military and lessening the number of white males, especially at flag rank, unquote. There was also a goal to reach a 50-50 male-female ratio in the military, require forced DEI and unconscious bias training, look for ways to recruit non-citizens who didn't speak English, and more. Quote, there was no mention of the negative effects of DEI in the military and no pushback to the DEI agenda in our military. Again, everyone on the committee was like-minded and on the same page as DEI, Scott said.
How in the world could our military be effective if senior officers were not selected by merit and ability, but by race, gender, or other things? Recruiting non-citizens who don't speak English is a goal? Eliminating the number of white males who are now serving in our military? This whole thing has nothing to do with having a military that can protect our country, but it is the direction that these leaders are taking us. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved and getting our nation back in track. Working with them is one of the things I do. I encourage you, check cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel, and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with General Arnold Panero. At ease, troops, take a break. In business for over 30 years with over $1 billion in sales, Universal Coin and Bullion is my go-to source for gold and silver coins And right now, they're offering our listeners a newly minted 0.99 fine 1 ounce 2024 silver American Eagle coin for just $27. Call 800-UCB-GOLD, 800-UCB-GOLD, or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. Criminals love the cover of darkness. It hides them and provides a tactical advantage and cover for them to launch an attack. Avoid dark alleys and unlit parking lots. When possible, always park under a light and avoid areas with a reputation for high crime. Remember, if you can't see the bad guy, then you can't avoid his ambush. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess with inflation going crazy and prices going up out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals, gold and silver. I encourage you to join me in purchasing these solid investments from Universal Coin. Find them at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Too many college students and all of the anti-Israel protesters erroneously believe that a country called Palestine was populated by a people called Palestinians until World War II, after which the Jews who escaped the Holocaust began migrating there as settlers and took lands from the Arabs. Today, so the narrative goes, they are colonial occupiers of stolen Palestinian land, as the Students for Justice in Palestine note on their Day of Resistance toolkit. There are many things wrong with these claims, most glaringly the fact that there's never been a country called Palestine and that Jewish people were the original inhabitants of this territory. While it's true that many Jews migrated to the British Mandate Palestine in the aftermath of the pogroms of the 1930s and then the Holocaust in the 1940s, there has been a continuous Jewish presence in Israel for all of recorded history, centuries before the birth of Muhammad and the advent of Islam. Jerusalem is mentioned 667 times in the Hebrew Bible, none in the Quran. The further back in history one goes, the less accurate the term settler is when applied to the Jews living in Israel. King Solomon's temple, built sometime between the 10th and 6th century BC, was destroyed by the Babylonian invaders. The second temple was destroyed by the Romans in the year 70. Islam ventured into the land of Israel as a colonial force in the 7th century. Muslims built a mosque on the site of Solomon's temple as an expression of their triumph. Academics who universally condemned European colonialism and American imperialism rarely acknowledge Islamic imperialism, especially when it comes to Israel. For most of the 19th century, the land was sparsely populated and in ruins. When Mark Twain visited there in the 1860s, he found it largely abandoned. In his book, Innocents Abroad, he called it desolate and unlovely, declared it a silent wilderness, and mourned that, quote, renowned Jerusalem itself, the stateliest name in history, has lost all of its ancient grandeur and has become a pauper village, end quote. The various Islamic caliphates occupied the land until the Ottoman Empire lost it in World War I. The League of Nations then turned the land over to Britain in order to reestablish the Jewish national homeland and renamed it British Mandate Palestine. It stretched from Egypt in the west, Syria in the north, Iraq in the east, and Saudi Arabia in the south. In 1922, Britain cut three quarters of the land off and unilaterally established a new country called Jordan. Yet another overlooked component of the simplistic claim that the Jews took Arabs' land is that much of the land in Israel was purchased by Jews from Arabs. As Robert Spencer points out, Jews who returned to Israel in the 19th and early 20th centuries didn't come as armed marauders seizing land from its owners by force. They obtained the land in a far more conventional and prosaic way. They bought it. Spencer notes one British government report from 1930 that smugly notes that they overpaid for it. After World War II, the United Nations voted to partition the land into a Jewish state and an Arab state. No Arabs called themselves Palestinians at this time. Palestinian nationalism may have begun in 1920, but not until after the Six-Day War in 1967 did Arabs begin calling themselves Palestinians. As a result of this UN vote, Many thousands of Jews living throughout the Middle East and North Africa were expelled from their homes. Few were permitted to even take belongings with them. They were forcibly exiled and sent to Israel. In the war to come, five Arab nations invaded and sought to strangle the new Jewish state, but the Arab nations lost that war. However, for many Jews living in Arab Muslim-majority countries, the UN partition vote and subsequent war became their disaster, too. According to the Jewish Virtual Library, quote, through 1947 and 1948, Jews in Algeria, Egypt, Iraq, Libya, Morocco, Syria, and Yemen were persecuted, their property and belongings were confiscated, and they were subjected to severe anti-Jewish riots instigated by the governments. In Iraq, Zionism was made a capital crime. In Syria, anti-Jewish pogroms erupted in Aleppo, and the government froze all Jewish bank accounts. In Egypt, bombs were detonated in the Jewish quarter. In Algeria, anti-Jewish decrees were swiftly instituted, and in Yemen, bloody pogroms led to the death of nearly 100 Jews. While some left to start new lives in Europe and the U.S., 586,000 were resettled in Israel at great expense to the Israeli government without any compensation from the Arab governments who had confiscated their possessions. The majority of the Jewish refugees left their homes penniless and destitute. These hundreds of thousands were genuine refugees. In spite of the charge that Israel is occupying Palestine, over 90% of the Palestinians who live in the West Bank are governed by the Palestinian Authority. Referring to this territory as the occupied West Bank is nonsense. The UN is the worst proliferator of the idea that Israel is a settler colonial state that occupies the West Bank, Gaza, and East Jerusalem. A 2016 Wall Street Journal article documented 530 General Assembly references to Israel as an occupying power, versus zero for Indonesia occupying East Timor, Turkey occupying Cyprus, Russia in Georgia and Crimea, Morocco in West Sahara, Vietnam in Cambodia, Armenia in Azerbaijan, Pakistan in Kashmir, or China in Tibet. The most vocal protesters, especially college students, are blissfully ignorant of this history. They've been conditioned to respond to the terms colonial and settlement with images of white Europeans encroaching on the ancestral territories of red, brown, and black people. But, as Elliot Abrams put it, the term settlement loses its meaning when it applies to Jews building homes in their nation's capital city. Like it or not, Jews living in Israel are there legitimately. They are not oppressors of anyone, period. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
You know, Colonel, since I can remember, every military service has had recruiters. If you wanted to join the armed services, you went to a recruiter's office, you got more information, you saw which service would offer you the most, and then you signed up. And over the past few years, we've talked about the extreme staff shortages that most of our services have been experiencing. And trying to get qualified candidates into the military, it's been a huge challenge for every single service. You know, for the Coast Guard, it's always seemed like they've had no issues with recruiting. When I was in the Coast Guard, I served with many enlisted people that had bachelor's degrees and even master's degrees. And frankly, that was what was needed if you wanted to be competitive enough to get selected to enlist in the Coast Guard. Well, not anymore. The Coast Guard is short nearly 10% of what is needed to do their mission. And in an effort to address this shortfall, the Coast Guard has created a new permanent enlisted rating called TAs, or Talent Acquisition Specialists. And they're doing that instead of giving a shore assignment for other ratings to fill that recruiter role, which has always been temporary. You know, the Coast Guard has failed to meet its enlisted recruiting goals over the past 4 years. And last year, the Commandant told Congress that the service was short nearly 3,500 members, and that this year, they're likely going to be short nearly 5,000 people, or about 10% of the overall Coast Guard. To address the shortfall, the Coast Guard has implemented referral pay bonuses, new recruiting centers have been created, and they even did a junior reserve officer training corps at high schools. You know, but what they really need is a dedicated and trained group of people that is focused simply on recruiting. And that is why they created this new rating. I do wonder, though, if this new rating will really be a permanent rating, you know, once the shortfall is fixed. But for Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really enjoy your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss some of our nation's challenges with General Armand Panero. Then we'll talk with former Green Beret Pat Harrigan. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You're standing tall with the front lines of freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for some wind sprints. Do them for a couple of miles, then stand at ease.
As veterans, we at Concerned Veterans for America know defending freedom comes at a high cost. Our lawmakers should consider that cost when they send troops to war.
If wars don't serve our national interest, our brave men and women shouldn't be deployed into harm's way. Our troops should not be in combat because Congress doesn't want to make tough decisions about military engagement.
Find out how you can join the movement to end our nation's endless wars at cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show retired Marine General Arnold Panaro. Arnold served on active duty in Vietnam and went into reserves. He served as a senior staffer in the U.S. Senate Armed Forces Committee. He's done a lot, and he's still working to support our nation. Welcome, Arnold.
Denny, always a privilege to be with you and your listeners.
And since you and I were both ran rifle platoons in Vietnam, give our listeners a quick review of your time in uniform.
Well, Denny, like you, I was privileged to lead troops in combat in Vietnam, even though the war was not popular back home. Our young troops did everything our country asked for them. Many paid the ultimate sacrifice in defense of our freedoms. After serving my time on active duty in the Marine Corps, I went to work in the United States Senate, ultimately serving as the staff director of the Senate Armed Services Committee, the committee that provides all the support and funding for our Department of Defense and our military, and then went into the business world where I serve today, but throughout have served on many boards and commissions trying to improve our national security.
Well, and you're still working at it in some kinds of ways. Okay, you've got the background. It's sort of hard to know where to start, but certainly the budget situation that our nation is in, which impacts on our military, the national debt, that whole thing, we're spending more than we're taking in. The interest we have to pay on our national debt is approaching huge numbers. That's got to be one of our biggest problems, threats. I'm not sure what to call it. Do you agree?
Denny, I'm reminded of what my father, Angelo Panaro, who served with Patton's Army in World War II, part of that greatest generation, used to tell me growing up. He'd say, son, when your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep will be your downfall. The deficits, we now have a $33 trillion deficit. Interest on the debt now is as large as everything we spend on national security. It's getting worse. We have these huge unfunded liabilities. The Congress, I call them the do-nothing Congress because they haven't addressed this problem. Everybody says we want to do something about it, but the body politic and either party, no one's willing to bite the bullet. We know we have to cut the entitlements. We have to trim discretionary spending. You're going to have to raise revenues. That's the only way you're going to be able to balance the budget. Congress, for the 25th straight year, started the fiscal year with a continuing resolution, which is very bad for our national security. Those CR, we're on our third continuing resolution. It runs out here at the end of the week. And just over the weekend, they admitted, oh, my goodness, we still can't get our work done on time. We may have a mini government shutdown. We don't know. I mean, so the uncertainty that the body politic has thrown into all these areas at a time when the world's in flames, Russia and Ukraine, Israel and Gaza, China rattling the saber against Taiwan. Denny, it's really inexcusable that our nation's leaders are not tackling these tough problems that face every American each and every day.
Yes, sir. And I'm letting my faith show in this. I believe that God gave us America. And if he did, I think he expects us to be good stewards of what he gave us. which means we've got to pay attention to what's going on, hold our elected leaders accountable, and pay attention, not be indifferent. Does that make sense?
Totally agree. I mean, we owe it to future generations. We are here and successful on the shoulders of people that made incredible sacrifices, starting with the Minutemen in the Revolutionary War. Our first president, George Washington, said, you know, the most effective way to preserve the peace is to be prepared for war. And we're neither as strong or prepared as we need to be. And the millions and millions of Americans that have served in our military during World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, you name it, it made the ultimate sacrifice. So we that are here today, we owe it to both those people that make those sacrifices, but to the future generations to be good stewards of the resources and of and protecting these democratic freedoms. And it's just so discouraging to somebody like me, and I know to you, to see how ineffective our elected leaders are, and they just are not held accountable. And the people in government are not held accountable for mistakes that they made, unlike what we deal with in our day-to-day lives.
Yes, it's incredibly rare to find anybody in government admit that they made a mistake.
And, right.
And we all make mistakes, but that's weird. And we're certainly, as you pointed out, leaving our children and grandchildren a disaster to try to live with, through, around.
Yeah.
And certainly the bad guys in the world can see how ineffective.
Yeah, they do. They see it. And you know, a lot of our debt's owned by China. Admiral Mike Mullen, when he was chairman of the Joint Chiefs or afterwards, said the number one national security threat is our deficit. Jim Mattis, when he was Secretary of Defense, said, we have met the enemy and it is us, you know, Pogo from the cartoon strip.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, the internal, and I people say, well, Arnold, why does deficit matter? I mean, we've had deficits, you know, forever. And I said, look, you know, if you have a steel bridge and that bridge starts to rust, I cannot tell you when that rust is going to make that bridge unable to carry and perform its mission. But that's what the deficit does to our economy. It eats at the insides. And at some point, and we're getting there very quickly, when you're at $33 trillion and you're paying more interest on the debt than you're paying for your national security, it is slowing down and eroding our underlying strength of our economy. And that's, of course, the real advantage that we have vis-a-vis Russia and China. And that's why, you know, you can't, and everybody, you can't point to, but we've had bridges that have collapsed because they could no longer carry the weight of the cars and trucks going over them because they rusted away.
Yes, sir. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with General Arnold Pinheiro. So that's, I agree with you, that's a crisis that, you know, a big part of what I live on is Social Security and my military retirement pay. And I understand that if we're going to balance things, those are going to have to be reduced. And I'm not happy about it, but I'm smart enough to know that if we don't do that and all the other government spending we do, there's not going to be anything there.
Well, Denny, when those programs were started, and they're absolutely needed. My father was a small contractor his entire life, and he lived on his Social Security. Now, we as family members would have helped him out if he needed, but he was, you know. But here's the thing. When Social Security was put into place, when the military retirement system was put into place, people died at age 60. And I'm not wanting people to die at age 60, but that was the lifespan of the average American. Today, it's 84 years old. And so what's happened is, you know, we are now paying people in these retirement things for much, much, much longer than the economics of what's being paid in were designed to do. And so when people talk about it, I wouldn't cut the benefits. What I would do is raise the retirement age. In the military, we still have the 20-year retirement. People leave when they're their most productive and most skilled. And the average enlisted person leaves at age 43, the average officer at age 45, and they live into their 80s. So we actually pay them for 70 years to only serve for 20 years. That arithmetic doesn't work in the modern world. And so that's why these things, again, and you do it gradually. You don't make any changes retroactively. You do not penalize anybody in the system today. You make it all prospective. And even if you made it prospective 20 years out, you save money every year because you don't pay into the accrual funds. And so and by the way, the House wants to pass a fiscal commission to basically look at all this. But the problem is, you know, everybody wants to do something about it, but nobody's willing to basically bite the three major bullets you have to bite to fix the problem, which is you have to take on entitlements. By the way, that is the fastest growing part of the federal budget: Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and other pensions. You have to tackle discretionary spending, which is only $1 trillion of the $7 trillion we spend every year, $6 trillion on autopilots. And I hate to say it, and I hate paying taxes, and everybody hates paying taxes, but you cannot balance the budget without raising some revenues. And so that's the bottom line.
I wish you were wrong, but I totally agree with you. There's more to discuss about our nation's current challenges, and Arnold's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Yeah, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, sometimes each week. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM. 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
When considering precious metals investments, credibility is paramount. That's why I chose Universal Coin and Bullion. They have a long-standing reputation in the industry that instills confidence in investors. Plus, the company's president, Dr. Mike Fulgens, is recognized as America's gold expert by his peers and the U.S. government, and was named Dealer of the Year by the American Numismatic Association. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with General Arnold Pinheiro. The one thing that I have found amusing is that somehow Congress will only pass a bill if it's Ukraine and Israel and our southern border. They won't separate them and deal with them as three different things. That makes no sense to me because they are three different things. We do that too, don't we? We bundle all kinds of things together that may or may not be related.
Well, that's, Denny, there's a couple of reasons for that. I hate to say it, it's for an institution that I spent 24 years working in the United States Senate. The Congress doesn't come to work very often anymore. They come in like on Tuesdays, go home on Thursdays, take a lot of time off. They've been on recess for the last 2 weeks. Russia's making gains in Ukraine. Israel is struggling in Gaza, and the Congress is basically on vacation. And the House doesn't even get back to Wednesday. And the funding runs out on Friday, and they haven't, you know, even put the bills out for anybody to look at. And so that's the challenges that we face in terms of the body politic.
Well, certainly the southern border is a huge crisis. I mean, what is the good part about letting millions of people into our country that don't speak our language, that don't know our culture, and most of whom probably don't have anything to add to our nation?
Well, Denny, our borders are not secure and they need to be secure. So those people that are saying we need to spend more money, we need to do more to secure the border, they're absolutely correct. You know, in my great University of Georgia, as a great Georgia Bulldog, we had a promising young nursing student that was killed by an illegal alien down in Georgia. And it's really shaken that hometown, Athens, the home of the University of Georgia. And this person basically came through The border people did gave him, you know, released him into society with rather than keeping him in some kind of secure area. And he murdered a young student. And so lots of people are coming in through the border that don't belong here. Break. We're a nation of immigrants. I would not be here today if my grandparents from Italy on both my mother's side and my father's side had not immigrated in the early 1900s. And I've seen their things at Ellis Island and whether people came from Ireland or from Europe or from Asia. You know, we're a nation of immigrants. And obviously, it's been very successful. But you've got to have policies in place and protections in place to have a secure border. So the people you don't want to come in, don't come in. And so some of the funding was to secure the border. In answer to your earlier question, you could deal with and should deal with each of these things on an individual basis. Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, the border. But Congress is here so few weeks out of the month, they've gotten to this point where they package everything up in these big omnibus bills and throw them over the transom at the last minute. But you're absolutely correct. You cannot have a strong economy in a strong country if you don't have secure borders.
Well, and we are a constitutional republic, which means we're a nation of laws. We have immigration laws.
Right.
We've been letting people in forever. Like you, my mother's parents came from Germany and my father's mother came from Ireland about 1900. Yeah, we're immigrants or the fruit of immigrants. There's nothing wrong with immigration, but we've got laws and we're supposed to be a nation of laws. And boy, we're not doing that.
That's right.
And I think that's going to hurt us in hundreds of ways, not just the cops being built up and people being killed.
But Danny, we should also acknowledge, though, that there are a lot of people that come from overseas and come in legally. They're some of the most hardest working, most productive Americans that are out there. So, you know, we shouldn't lump everybody. But I mean, this individual that killed this nursing student was part of a gang in Venezuela. And he never should have been let in the country. And once he was in, he should have been kept in a lockup. So that's the problem. And a lot of these gangs and a lot of the drugs and things of that nature. And we know we are seeing infiltration through our unsecure borders of people that would, you know, Chinese spies and things of that nature. So we have got to secure our borders.
And we could talk about that forever, but probably there's no benefit to that. But certainly I'm of the opinion that while I certainly cheer for Ukraine and want them to do well, I think that's Europe's problem and that Germany and the other countries in Europe need to step up and be the major supporter for Ukraine, particularly since we're broke. But I don't see anything like that going on.
Well, Denny, I think the European countries have woken up a little bit. They certainly, my old boss, Senator Nunn from Georgia, was one of the biggest champions of NATO. But he also basically every year had amendments to increase their burden sharing and said, look, if you don't increase to 3%, you know, in your contribution, we're going to bring our forces back home. So we got to keep pressure on them. We're in this together. I mean, the problem is, you know, not to be take a little bit of the opposite side point of view, but those that basically said, oh, we don't need to worry about Hitler. You know, he's not a threat to us. And the people that tried to appease Hitler, the people that didn't believe the United States was vulnerable to Japan, you know, surprise attack at Pearl Harbor. You cannot let Putin succeed in Ukraine. He won't stop in Ukraine. He would push in and go west. He wants to expand his borders. And you basically are talking, if we let him off the hook, you're moving towards a World War III. So we're all in this together. The two oceans in relatively friendly borders do not protect the United States of America anymore. Our enemies can attack us from space. They can attack us from cyber. They can put submarines off the East Coast that can launch missiles that can hit our major cities in minutes, not hours. We're all in this together. So we've got to stop Putin in Ukraine. We've got to stop China from taking Taiwan. So yes, the Europeans should do a lot more. Yes, they're on the front lines. Yes, they haven't done enough. But the notion that somehow those people that are saying, well, look, we can just be isolationist and we're protected here, Fortress America. They were wrong in World War I. They were wrong in World War II, and they're wrong today.
Well put. Good point there. And And certainly, now, we have to support Israel. And Israel's not asking for a lot. But I certainly believe that they are our closest, most dependable ally anywhere in the world.
Absolutely, Denny. And basically, Iran right now is evil puppet master when it comes to the Hamas in Gaza and elsewhere, the Houthis, Hezbollah, the Iranian proxies in Syria and Iraq that are attacking our forces. And Iran right now has enough enriched uranium to build 3 nuclear weapons, a situation we should never allow to happen. So we need to support Israel. Hamas is avowed to basically wipe the state of Israel and all the Jewish people living there off the face of this earth. They deserve our support. We need to protect them, just like we need to basically keep Putin from taking Ukraine.
I agree. And I do not see American troops in either fight, at least not at this point.
Correct. I don't see boots on the ground there either, but there's so much that we can do without boots on the ground. One, we can give them the implements of war that they need. You and I have been in some firefights when we got short on ammunition. I was actually in one firefight in Vietnam where I ran out of ammunition. And you talk about a really scary situation for you and your troops when you're short on supplies and short on ammunition, or you're in the middle of a firefight and you run out of ammunition. And so we need to give the Ukrainian forces and the Israeli forces support that they need. We can help them with intelligence. We can help them with training. But we're not going to have boots on the ground in either location. But for example, if Putin was to succeed in Ukraine, we would end up having boots on the ground because he's going to attack the NATO countries that we're sworn to defend.
Good point. Unfortunately, I think you're right on. Arnold, we got 1 minute left. Got a final thought?
Well, Denny, I just would like to say, you know, you and I've talked about a lot of problem areas, but I have tremendous confidence in the young people pushing up in our country, the ones that are here legally, what they're doing each and every day. The volunteer force is struggling right now. And it's not the people that are in the volunteer force. It's the people that aren't. And so we need to educate and inform the American people. There's tremendous opportunities to serve in uniform. These are the people that are on the front lines of freedom, like you say, each and every day. These are the people that are protecting our democratic way of life. And we need to not only support them, we need to encourage people to serve in uniform.
Amen, brother. Arnold, thank you. Thank you for these great comments, for your service to our nation. I'm proud we're friends and brothers.
Amen, Denny. It's a privilege.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Army veteran Pat Harrigan. Then Steve Udovich will share about a war memorial he's working on. And Skip and I will shoot the bull. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Do 35 good ones, then a few push-ups. Then grab some protein, rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.